Good evening and welcome to On The Mark with Mark Hamadi on 95.5 The Rock, the show dedicated to your success in business, your organization, or your everyday life. We are trying to help make it a little better for you. My name's Morgan Lillick. I'm your host, joined as always here at our studios by Mark Hamadi. Mark, how's your evening going, brother?
It's fantastic. It's a hot day, but it's fantastic.
And you've got some fun lined up for tonight, going on a mystery ride, I hear.
Absolutely, absolutely. It should be exciting.
Very cool. Well, you know, that's something that you have to adapt to. When certain situations are thrown your way, like tonight, you get a call, hey, we're going to do this thing, 12 people, we're picking you up, no details, it's a mystery. You've got to be able to adapt with the changes if you want to take advantage of the good times. And Mark, that's our topic tonight for On The Mark. We are talking about change within your business or organization, how it can benefit you, how it can impact you, both positively and negatively. So Mark, let's get things started right off right now. Tell our listeners what change is to Mark Hamadi.
Well, you know, all change is not growth, as all movement is not forward. And change is just about doing something differently than it really is.
So just doing things a little bit differently than you've done them in the past, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, it's definitely a change.
Absolutely. And that's really important. It's kind of like a child that grows, right? When you have a baby, first you want it to crawl. Then you want it to walk, and then you want it to run. And that's a change.
Absolutely. And if you're doing your job right as a parent, these changes all kind of come along naturally. When it comes to your business, you'll face some natural change, but a lot of the change is self-implemented change, things that you're changing within your different dynamic from whatever your business or organization is. Maybe you're trying to, you know, raise the bottom line. Maybe you're trying to cut costs. You're going to have to do something different to get different results. As, you know, it's a very popular saying, I'm sure you've heard it out there, but insanity is doing the same thing and expecting different results. So if you want to have things go a little bit differently, if you're looking to increase or improve, change is likely going to be involved in there. So Mark, talk a little bit about what kind of change can be good for a business.
You've got to look at what area, for example, you are suffering in. So let's just say your sales are down, let's say in a restaurant on Tuesdays. You don't have any customers on afternoon. So maybe you call Rockingham and you say, hey, I want to do a special on Tuesday afternoon. It could be a price. It could be in speed. It's not always necessarily about money. It could be just come in here and check us out. Just something different. If the restaurant is empty on a certain day, that's a great day to get people in there because it'll be relaxing for them. Maybe they feel it's going to get crowded and so they didn't want to come. That's a good way to make a positive change on that day.
And it's also something where you're not really looking at a negative impact to your business because, honestly, if you have an empty restaurant on Tuesday afternoons, what do you have to lose by doing something different? Now, that's a very different scenario than, say, Saturday night rolls around. You have a packed restaurant, always full, but you got a new boss in town, maybe a new manager. He thinks, you know, I got something great I've got lined up for Saturday night. This is a can't-miss idea. Mark, what would you recommend, even if it's a great idea, would you have our listeners steer clear of changing a good thing?
That depends, because I'll tell you what, when you are through changing, you are through. An example, Buick. They had the older generation loving the Buick. So they decided to market to the younger generation. I don't have a problem with that. The problem I have is they stopped marketing to that older generation.
Big problem.
To me, that was a disgraceful. And then they went back to it. So if there's something that you're doing Saturday night that's great, maybe tweak it. Ask your customers, what part of this could we improve? But don't get rid of the good. Part of the problem, Morgan, is a lot of organizations, when they have something good, they get rid of that good part, and then the bad part, they didn't improve. Another example that I'll give you is with a drink that I was taking through Body by Beachbody. It's an orange drink that was delicious. Everybody loved it. You drink it within an hour after working out, and it replenishes you and takes away the soreness. Getting rave reviews all the way, Amazon, every person. Well, they improved the formula and changed the taste.
Oh.
And it went downhill. Now they went back to that taste. So you got to be careful with what you play around with.
Absolutely. I say if there's not much to lose or if you know there's a lot of improvement to be made, that change is almost entirely good. I mean, you can obviously make poor decisions and make poor changes. That's one thing. But we're talking about changing something that needs fixed. Now, when you're talking about something that doesn't necessarily need fixed, like your Saturday nights at the restaurant that are full or your orange drink, like you mentioned there by Body by Beachbody, Mark, these are certain things you should probably just tend to leave alone. Don't change just for the sake of changing. changing. Change because there is a need that you need to address.
You know, yes, and I would say you must welcome change as the rule, but not as your ruler.
Absolutely. That's a great way to put it, too. Mark, let's flip the script here, play a little bit of devil's advocate. Give me an example that you've faced throughout your career at any number of jobs. It could be from entry level just coming up or from some of your upper level management experience where you've seen change implemented where it really didn't need to be and it caused quite a detriment afterward.
I was, you know, at an organization, had incredible healthcare benefits, and the company decided to get rid of those benefits.
Just altogether?
Yes. That doesn't work, Morgan. It doesn't work because it wasn't replaced by anything.
So what did that do to employee morale? I'd imagine you had some angry workers.
You had some angry workers. It's hard to recruit and get the best people. It causes a lot of issues because remember, if you are one of the best at what you do, it might take you a while to get a job or the right job or whatever you want to do, but in the end, you'll be grabbed on because companies are struggling. Great talent is always very precious.
And so, not always easy to find.
Absolutely. And so you will be able to land with a company that gives you everything. And if you're having kids, you know, you have kids, healthcare is important.
Oh, absolutely.
It might not be as important to an 18-year-old or a 19-year-old in the beginning, but the minute they get sick, the minute there's an issue, it becomes an issue.
Now, let's go into a little bit of role play scenario here. Say you're an owner of a business out there that has had success in the past, but it's beginning to struggle. Business has waned. You haven't made a lot of change recently, and you feel like maybe you've gotten a bit behind the times. What would you recommend as far as someone that's wanting to make changes but doesn't know where to start? Where should they begin?
Well, you know, you have to look at each department. I think that this is the mistake I've always said, Morgan. One of the issues is people start pointing fingers right away. Well, okay, if that was the case, then you wouldn't have a problem because you would have fixed it right away. So when does it become a problem? Now? No, not really. It's been a problem for a while, right?
Yes.
But it exasperated. It got bigger and bigger and bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Well, nobody wants problems. Nobody wants to not do well. If they had the answer to begin with, they would have fixed it right away. Right?
Yes.
That's the common sense. So to me, really, you have to look at each area and see. Sometimes it's a cumulative effort, right? I mean, let's give an example. If you're in an organization, for example, you know, we'll just say a radio station here where you have so many parts. If the sales rep goes out to talk to the customer and let's say was antsy fast and the customer was a little irritable but decided, okay, you know what, I still want to go with this organization, and then they contact here and no one answers because everybody left, you know, at 4:30 or whatever,
right?
You know, it adds on. So a lot of times when I look at issues or problems in a company, it's never just one thing, Morgan. I've never ever seen it where it's just one tiny thing and kaboom. If that was the case, everybody would be pointing at that one thing, and they would fix it.
Yes.
But it's never that one thing.
It's a lot of little things.
Yes, absolutely. That breed and breed and breed.
And if you don't know where to begin out there, business owners, it's great to look into hiring some outside consulting, someone that can take a third-party perspective from your business and really be able to give you solid, sound advice based on what they're able to see and not take that bias. When you own a business, that's your baby. So you've got a lot of bias towards certain things that you might have the blinders on as far as changes that are needed to be made. So getting an outside consultant in can really help expedite that process and might open your eyes to some things that you didn't realize are going on within your own organization or company that really could stand to change. I think what we've decided here, Mark, is that change is generally good as long as it's not overkill or change that's being made just for the sake of change.
Absolutely. And Morgan, let's say you change and it's bad. Change again.
There you go. Change back. Try something different, right?
Absolutely.
There, as you mentioned with the orange drink for the Body by Beachbody, that's something they changed, made a mistake. At least they realize it in time to change it back. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we return, we'll be joined by Dr. Thompson here, the new president at Kansas Wesleyan University in Salina. He's coming up next when On the Mark with Mark Hamadi returns on 95.5 The Rock. Stay locked. Welcome back to On the Mark with Mark Hamadi on 95.5 The Rock. Our program brought to you tonight by Hassman Termite and Pest Control, providing 50 years of quality service from the Hassman family, and by Salina Downtown Incorporated. Discover Salina's historic downtown online at salinadowntown.com and like Salina Downtown on Facebook. Our guest tonight to join our discussion about change is Dr. Matt Thompson from Kansas Wesleyan University. Recently, though, our new president here at K-Dub. Congratulations on that, Matt, and we're happy to have you in Salina.
Well, thank you so much. It's an honor to be here. I appreciate you inviting me.
Absolutely. We're happy to have you here. And Dr. Thompson, just for our listeners who aren't familiar with you, tell them a little bit about your background and how you made your way to Salina.
Sure. I grew up in Jacksonville, Florida, and spent most of my life there, and then went to college in Georgia. Spent 13 years there working at a couple of institutions, working on my master's and my doctorate degree, and then went to Florida Southern College, a sister Methodist school to Kansas Wesleyan, was there for 6 years, and then had the opportunity and was approached and nominated for this position, and then started to learn more about Kansas Wesleyan, and as I did, just fell in love with the school and knew this is where I wanted to be.
Well, we are really happy to have you in Salina. So far, I've heard a lot of good things, and I look forward to getting to work with you further here as we move into the future. But at this time, I know Mr. Hamadi's got some great questions lined up for you this evening, and I will kick it over to Mark. Mark, take it away.
Hey, thank you, Morgan. You know, I was looking at Dr. Thompson's background, and I really liked kind of how he moved from different positions. And today's topic is very dear to me, change. A lot of people are scared about change. And you know, one of the things I tell leaders is when they come into an organization and they want to put change, if you don't have the vision and you can't articulate that vision and you don't show the people that you truly believe in it and you're scared in that vision, well, the change can't happen because the staff, the employees, whoever it is, will not follow you. In order to get people to follow you, you have to articulate that change and you have to have that vision and you have to truly believe in it. So one of my questions to you, Dr. Thompson, is how have your experiences and the changes in your life shaped your career, your ideas, and your beliefs?
That's a great question. You know, it's probably not one I spend a lot of time thinking about, so I appreciate the question and the chance to spend a little time on it. You know, I think what grounds me is my faith, and that allows me to find steadiness in my life. And even when there's difficult times or times that seem less sure than others, that's what roots me to knowing who I am and where I'm going and what I'm doing. And so when I have tough decisions to make, it brings me back to hopefully making the right decisions because it's core to who I am. You know, as I think about my experiences over time, what I've learned is that you have to value individuals in a change process because the change is happening to each individual, not just to the organization. And so you have to be sensitive to that piece. And when you are, I tend to find that the transitions happen easier. It doesn't make it easy, but it goes a little easier when you're focused on valuing the individuals who are going through the change.
I would totally agree with you. And I would say the bamboo that bends is stronger than the oak that resists. So you have to be understanding. You have to be mature about it. And you have to support the people through that change because it is different. It's like welcoming a new baby. It's like buying a new vehicle. It can be traumatic. And sometimes trauma affects people in different ways. Dr. Thompson, what were your first impressions of Kansas Wesleyan and what really attracted you to the challenge? And, you know, those are two questions because one, it's about the university and then it's about the opportunity to take that university to that next level. I think you come in as the 19th president.
Right. Well, you know, my wife and I came to visit campus in January, and I will say that it was actually nicer weather here that day than it was in Florida. So that was really helpful in convincing us to look a little further. But, you know, we came a little early prior to when we were told to be here and just walked the campus and actually ended up having lunch over in Tri-Wise Cafeteria and sat down with a student who was just so friendly. So part of my first impression was not just the beauty of the campus, which is, I think, extraordinary for our community, but also the students. She was eager to tell me about the experiences that she had had. She was in love with what she was doing and felt nurtured and supported. And I thought, wow, this is a place where I'd like to spend time and be a part of. And so from there, as I met other people, it was just reinforced over and over again. That was the type of experience that our students were having. And I knew I wanted to be a part of that. So that's what drew me here and made me say, this is where I want to be. And as I met faculty who were living that out and the staff who really cared about it, I knew that it wasn't just some sort of slogan and I didn't just meet the right student who happened to say that. Mm-hmm. It really was who Kansas Wesleyan was. And it matched up with who I am and how I want to lead the institution forward.
And that's a great answer, which brings me to the next question, because I think some people sometimes what they don't see is, you know, every university has strengths, and this university has that strength. But sometimes just because a university has the strength doesn't mean everybody knows about it. It doesn't mean that recruits or students or people who are coming in, whether for English majors or philosophy, or if they want to play soccer because their athletic teams are excellent, they know about that. And so you have to be able to push that strength to them, and you have to be able to implement the change so that everyone can see what the university's strength is. And so my question to you is, how will you implement the change to show that strength?
Yeah, I think in many ways what you're talking about is that brand equity that comes. You don't have to explain in Coca-Cola. You know what it is.
Exactly.
And I would say of areas that we need to work on, one is telling our story. Historically, I don't think we've been as successful as we need to be there. I think we're being successful, but for whatever reason, we haven't been good at articulating our story. And that's part of what we as an administrative team and as an institution have been talking a lot about in the last 2 months. And as I've been going around talking in small groups with faculty and staff and saying, what are you most proud of? I mean, the stories go on and on and on, whether it's our exceptional passage rate on the nursing national exam, which is better than the national pass rate, or it's our teachers who have the best retention in the high schools and the middle schools where they're teaching of any other school in the state, or if it's our debate team, which runs a national debate competition this year. We haven't been effective to say that's part of who we are. We are success in every aspect of what we're doing, but we are also a caring institution. We can't just be a caring institution. We have to be an institution that is grounded in real successes that are tangible. I think we're in a generation and a time that looks for measurements to indicate what the quality is and what the brand identity is based on some of these qualifiers. And so that's what we have to be better at telling about. We have the measurements, but we just haven't talked enough about them. But as I think about change, I think you start with your base of success and you grow from there. You get very clear about articulating who you are, but also who you're not. There are 4,200 higher education institutions in this country. And we are not the right school for every student. We need to find the students who are the right mix. And what I find is those students come here and are wildly successful and go on to do great things. But change comes with setbacks. It comes with challenges. But as I think about our motto, which I'll give you in English and not in Latin today, is victory not without toil. And I think that's what creates great graduates, and I think that's what creates us as a great institution, is that we have overcome difficulties and have been successful and will continue to be successful because of that.
I'm assuming you're putting some short-term goals and some long-term goals.
Absolutely. As I've talked around campus, we're talking about what we need to do to be successful to recruit and retain our students for this fall and what those measurable goals are. We're also looking to 2014, what we're going to do and have accomplished so that we will have the best recruitment and retention class that we have. And that involves having the best faculty, the best facilities, the best academic programs that we can have. And so those are some of the kind of short-term goals. As we look a little bit longer term, we're talking about how do we live out our mission in more substantial ways. That brings that congruence between who we are and what we're doing. I don't think there's a great variance between those two things, but I think there are new ways that we could better articulate it and better live it out. And that's where we're moving more long-term. But short-term is about really, again, telling that story, articulating and helping every prospective student know who we are and why they should choose us as their first choice institution.
Absolutely. Now, how will these changes affect the university, the city, the staff, incoming students, and also professors and so forth? Are you having different changes that will benefit each area? So, because as human nature, sometimes it's like, what's in it for me? What's in it for us? And I see that big time with athletics. You know, a lot of times, oh my God, we're putting so much money into the athletics and so forth. But yet when the athletics gives back so much money to the university, that helps tuition going down and so forth. You know, it's very touchy. It's imperative to be able to help benefit each area.
I agree with you. I think that part of what I've been focused on is looking more like segments, as you've described. For example, with faculty, I want them to create the best academic experience they can and the best classroom experience they can for every course that they're teaching. And so one of the things we've started talking about is it's okay to have a failure. you know, if we are trying intently to do the best that we can to try a new avenue of teaching or a new method or a new course, that we can offer it with our best intention and it not go well, but that's okay. Because either we will retool it and make it better and do it better the next time, or we'll go, you know what? Maybe that's not the right fit for us. You know, we've tried this online, or we've tried this new engaged learning technique, and it didn't quite work. Not for lack of anybody's best effort. This just sometimes happens. I think we have to be in an environment that allows for safe failures and wild successes to happen as well. And so I think that's part of the new model that we're moving into, is ones where we can make calculated risks to better the institution. Shifting to a different area in terms of athletics, I believe that with 70% of our students being student athletes, that we have to really focus and make sure that we have great opportunities there to be successful. And that's part of the reason we're hiring a full-time athletic director. Dave Dallas has done a wonderful job being both the football coach and being the athletic director. And I said, which one do you want to do full-time? And he said, I've still got goals and things I want to accomplish as a football coach. That's what I want to do full-time. So I said, great, we'll hire a full-time athletic director. And so we're in the process of finishing that up. And I think that really will be an important role for us. We've hired new folks in our admissions offices and other offices on campus that are focused on creating a student-centered experience. And so from the campus experience, that's part of what's happening. I think one of the big things that you'll be hearing more about in the next month or so is where we are with our sports complex project. And that's something that's really going to start affecting the community and I think be something that we're all really proud of. You know, we're the only four-year university that has athletic programs in town. And, you know, I believe we're the hometown team. Mm-hmm. And so I want folks to look at us to say, you know what, I'm going there for Saturday to watch football because, one, I can get a ticket, and, two, it's going to be a great experience for my family. And everybody can get in and enjoy it together. And so that's part of where we're headed with basketball and football, is really telling that message that we're the hometown team. Come out and support us.
I totally agree with you. And I think with change, you have to be kind of, I use the term like plexiglass, very flexible, because all these great things have to be embraced by the board, by the faculty, the cabinet, the staff, and sometimes what's great for one isn't for the other. Mm-hmm. So you have to be able to kind of massage all of them together. So when you've delivered that message to achieve the goals that you set out for the university, how have you felt between the groups and the different areas?
Well, short term, we have to make some choices as to what we can accomplish in the near term and what's going to maybe have to wait a year or longer to accomplish. And so I've spent a lot of time talking to faculty and to staff about those pieces and to say, you know, we may not all agree this is the right short-term decision, but this is the short-term decision. And let me give you all the reasons why, but let's talk about it so you know, and that you have a chance to have a voice. Because I believe people having a voice in the process is important to the change being successful. And so while I don't think there's 100% consensus on anything that we do on a college campus, and probably shouldn't be for that matter, I do think we generally have consensus that some of the short-term decisions we're making are the right ones. We're making investments in the right areas to help us shore things up and be successful in the near term. That will allow us to be more successful in the long term. So part of that, I think, is about open communication.
I totally agree. Any change, even change for the better, is always accompanied by some hesitation and uneasiness, but then it comes through. It's kind of like the first time you work out. You're sore. If you continue to do it, the soreness goes away. Thank you, Dr. Thompson, for joining me on The Mark. Any final message to the listeners?
Just keep thinking about Kansas Wesleyan. We are not just the school at the end of Santa Fe. We are your hometown team. We are a place that's providing great education. We're producing great graduates who are going out and doing wonderful things in the world. And as those of you who know campus know, Pioneer Hall, what I like to think about is we're a pioneering institution. You think about Glenn Martin, Wes Jackson, Rebecca Chopp, others who have graduated with us and gone out and been pioneers in their field. That's what we're producing now, is the next generation of pioneers in their fields.
Dr. Thompson, we really appreciate you taking the time to come over to the studios today and visit with us. Welcome to Salina, and we look forward to your first full year as the president at Kansas Wesleyan.
Thanks so much.
When we return, we'll delve into our social media mailbox segment. That is coming up next on The Mark with Mark Hamadi, right here on 95.5 The Rock. Stay locked. Welcome back to On the Mark with Mark Hamadi here on 95.5 The Rock. Our program brought to you tonight by Hassman Termite and Pest Control, providing 50 years of quality service from the Hassman family, and by Salina Downtown Incorporated. Discover Salina's historic downtown online at salinadowntown.com and like Salina Downtown on Facebook. Our social media mailbox question tonight comes to us from Morgan Redding, and Morgan writes in, does having an employee-based committee help make better changes to a work environment, or should it just be left to administration. Mark, a great question here for you tonight. Are we going to have the employees handle the changes, or should it be just the upper level management?
You know, that is a fantastic, fantastic question, Morgan. And I would say you've got to involve a little bit of everybody.
I agree.
As coach from each department. Is it better? It's not necessary. It could be better. It could be worse. And what I mean by that is if you put an employee on there that is only thinking about their department, their area, themselves, you need that mix, but it's good to listen to them. Sometimes they don't see the full picture. Well, sometimes administration doesn't see it. I always hear, oh, management doesn't know what they're doing. They don't see what we see. Well, that could be true, but you also don't see what they see.
It's true.
So it's a combination. You need a combination of all, listen to all the facts and figure out what the change affects. And if it really is costly, can't be done or whatever, but really the employees want to do it, then okay, empower them. Give them an opportunity to earn it or thrive. They may say, well, it's going to cost us X. If we bring X or Y, we will do it. Mm-hmm. There's always something that's going to compel you to do what the employees want. I have no problem with, you know, empowering the employees to perform to do it. Just saying no is demoralizing.
I'm with you there. And I thought you touched on a great point there just a little bit ago. There's a constant struggle, Mark, between upper management and lower level employees. And I'm speaking in generalities here, but lower level employees will think, you know, upper management doesn't care about us. They don't appreciate our opinions. And upper management will think, you know, the lower level employees just take advantage of us and run around doing their thing and really don't get the vision of the company. Well, they're both wrong and they're both right. It really does take a combined team effort, at least in my opinion, for greatest changes to be enacted. How I think you start is you have people from your different departments that kind of head an employee committee in each department. You know, visit with your employees from that department, figure out what changes they feel need to be made. And then the employee heads from each one gather at a meeting to discuss with the upper management. And then it's upper management's responsibility to take what they hear and make sure that they really are able to take all of that information into consideration and then put that into play with what they have to deal with from an upper management level. They take those structures combined with the thoughts of their employees and combined can form one great policy for change.
It drives me crazy sometimes when upper management doesn't truly listen to them, because you have to listen and you have to work with them and help implement some of those changes.
Yep, your lower level employees are typically the ones that are on the scene, the day-to-day operations that have the pulse on that. Whereas, you know, you're going to have your upper management that has the pulse on the general well-being and structure of the entire organization. So obviously one can learn something from the other. So it's just a matter of communicating, working well together to try to enact the change that's necessary for whatever the organization or business needs.
You know what? It takes that combination.
I think an employee-based committee does help to make better changes, and it should not be left just to the administration. The combination of the two together will provide the best results. Morgan, thank you so much for writing in your question, for being our selected social media mailbox question this week. You've just scored $25 in Salina Downtown dollars, good as cash at any participating business in downtown Salina. For Dr. Thompson and Mark Hamadi, I'm Morgan Lillick saying so long. This has been On the Mark, and stay tuned. NASCAR Performance Live is next.